another 9 a.m. here at BusinessRadioX.com. It is April 10th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett, and my partner Elizabeth Gordon is hopefully making her way to the studio. She has a hurt foot, so she may be limping in as we progress on the show. But meanwhile, joining me in the studio this morning, I'm very pleased to welcome Amanda Chassie from the City Club of Buckhead. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like there are some people that you meet and you just love right away. So I think this is maybe the second time we've met in person. Yes, but we're like best friends already.
Absolutely.
Totally. So you can never have too many BFFs. So
we jive very well together.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
Absolutely. So the worst is when the opposite happens. You know, you meet somebody and right off the bat, you're like, oh, this isn't going to be good.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And sometimes that happens in the middle of a job interview or, you know, trying to get a new client or, God forbid, like parents or somebody of your new boyfriend or something. Not good.
Mother-in-laws.
Right.
Mother-in-laws.
Right. It can happen. It can happen. Didn't happen with us. So that's good. So.
Nor my father and mother-in-law. So that's good.
That is excellent. Excellent. Soon to be married, Amanda Chassie. Yes.
For sure.
So I was saying to Amanda before we went on the air, we could do a whole show on the business of weddings.
It's so expensive and so time consuming. I can't even focus on anything else but this wedding. But it's almost over.
Yeah.
It's all worth it.
And it will be a wonderful day.
Absolutely.
I'm
wonderful
sure.
Week. It's a week affair.
And that's what they turn into. Isn't that amazing? They really do. I said, now you are being in the club business. You guys do weddings at the club?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I was saying to somebody, and you can dispel this myth for me if it's true, but I was saying to somebody, if I was planning a wedding, I think I would call the venue and just say I'm planning a 40th birthday party and see if I got a better rate.
You would absolutely do so. Yes.
Because I sort of believe, is it true that you get charged more money if they know it's a wedding? I mean, I'm not saying for you to call out the City Club because obviously you guys do everything ethically and above board.
Of course. There is they're the same food and beverage minimums. However, the vendors, the florals, the bands, the DJs, those aspects of the wedding planning is definitely marked up really high.
I mean, you can't blame the vendors to some extent, right? Because
because
that's supply and demand, right? And I mean, not all industries do that, certainly, but there are plenty of industries that charge people what the people can afford as opposed to what the product is worth, right?
Especially in season. So.
Right. And there are things like that. Mm-hmm. Seasonality, you know, you're not probably going to get married on a Tuesday night. So automatically being on the weekend gets more expensive and things like that. So I get all of that. But I swear if I ever get married again. Is my boyfriend listening right now? If I ever get married again, I'm going to call and say I'm having an anniversary party or a birthday party or something and see what happens.
That is a good strategy for sure.
You know, and then when I get there, I'll be like, oh, didn't I tell you it was a wedding? Huh? Whoops. And, you know, like, it's just interesting. And then the other thing I think you get wrapped up in when you're a bride is all the I have to have this and I have to do this because everyone else is doing it.
Yes.
And it's hard to escape that. I mean, I was married and I did all of that a number of years ago. We won't count them. But, you know, I did all that. You have to have the place cards and you have to have the giveaways and you have to have the bridesmaids gifts and you have to have all the stuff that.
And it's tough to decide if you want to do it yourself and spend weeks and weeks of doing everything yourself.
Yeah, crafting.
Or just paying somebody to do it.
Right.
And that's the challenge here is we're doing rose petal cone holders on each chair to throw out rose petals when we walk down the aisle. And I was doing a to-do kit and I was like, there's 13 different steps to just make a rose petal cone holder. And I'm like, $115 to purchase 80 or 2 weeks of my time doing it.
Right.
So,
or you take a piece of paper, roll it up into a cone and put some tape on it and it costs you about 5 cents. I'll do them for you. How about that?
Okay.
Done.
Let's do that.
Done. And it is funny because you get it's like I have to have this now and I have to have this. And it's just amazing how quickly it
Absolutely.
All adds up. You know, I have a sister that's getting married at the end of the summer and how we got off on weddings like immediately. I love talking. You know what? I think I told you this last time we met. I got obsessed with watching Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Like, I watch it on Netflix, so I watched on the treadmill, one after the next. Like, I'm, obsessed with that show. So I think because of that, I just love talking about weddings because it's just so crazy how families get and how people get. But anyway.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And hopefully that's the spirit in which – because sometimes people get really I mean, it causes problems.
Oh, yes. My wedding coordinator just called me yesterday, and my wedding is May 17th, that the venue of the ceremony is changing.
Nice.
I didn't really know how to handle that, but it's instead of the North Croquet Lawn, it's the South Croquet Lawn. So it's not
gonna
a
be
big
okay.
deal.
Yeah.
But things like that happen and it kind of stresses you out. But you're fine. You just got to roll with it.
Well, yeah. And that's I wish that you could give everyone that roll with it pill ahead of time because it would make it so much easier. I remember at my wedding, you know how you pick out your song you're going to dance your first dance to, and it's all so critical and whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get there and we had this really expensive band at the time because my mother at the time was the director of a nonprofit organization that was all, we were in Philadelphia and she was the director of the Philadelphia Music Foundation.
Nice. Okay.
So therefore she felt that we had to have a good band. I couldn't just have a DJ. So she sprung for it and she got like the best band in town and whatever. And so,
love it.
Yeah, except we get there and we're married and we're waiting outside about to come in, you know, now announcing Mr. and Mrs. Right. And the band leader comes out and he's like, we forgot the music for your song. So pick something else. Like literally with like a minute to go. And of course I had like a meltdown, you know,
oh, no.
But I should have been able to just roll with it because who cares? Ultimately, who cares? It's not that big a deal. The important thing is the marriage, you know, and the family and the friends and, yes. and all of us being together and celebrating and not who, what song is playing.
It's just got to keep on telling myself that.
I know it's challenging, but you do. And so I started to say, my sister is getting married at the end of the summer and she's very hippy dippy trippy, we're gonna say. Love my sister, she's awesome, but she's very she is so completely doing her own thing for this wedding. Like they're getting married at a campground.
Oh wow.
It's like a weekend long thing, but it's like super casual, you know. It's and she's not doing printed invitations, just doing a website, and like she's just doing her own thing.
Atta girl.
Right. And I really admire that because I couldn't do that. I had to do the wedding, you
no
know.
Way. I have to do the show. Not the show per se, but just it's a great time to get all the family together for a week. And it's just a week on the beach.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's
nice.
Good to just kind of celebrate
but you're
the
right.
moment.
But so. You're also right in saying the show because it is a
yeah,
show a little bit. And
little
you know
bit.
What? I like being the center of attention. And so
that's why we're friends. Okay.
There it is. And I like putting on a show. I want to, you know, it's like if it's a big, hopefully you're only going to get married once. Now that wouldn't be true for me, but hopefully for you. And so you want it to be something you'll remember that's exactly what you want, blah, blah, blah. So
absolutely.
Anyway, I'm sure I can't wait to hear all about it.
Oh, yes.
After the wedding, you'll come back and you'll
talk.
Give
about
me
it.
An update on all your business ventures and the club and whatever's going on and the wedding.
Absolutely.
So we'll make that official.
Thank
all right.
You.
Before we get to all of the other details of your life, let's kind of hit the headlines a little bit. Some interesting things in this week's news roundup. First of all, Final Four was here.
Yes, ma'am.
They were warning about horrible traffic. Now, I have to tell you that we drove into town for something else on Saturday night. No problem at all.
That's what I've heard, especially those concerts downtown.
Yeah.
I heard it was easy to get in and out of that place.
So it's kind of interesting. I feel like Atlanta does that. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And then it doesn't fall. Like, I remember that in the Olympics, too. Mm-hmm. Back in 96, I was working downtown at the time, and they were saying, oh, you know, traffic. Got to take MARTA. So that week. In fact, I had just started a new job downtown that week. So I started taking MARTA. And MARTA was like sardines. It was packed because they told everyone to take MARTA. Mm-hmm. So then like 2 days into it, I was like, I'm going to try driving. No problem.
Very nice.
So sometimes I think in a way it's good that they're overzealous and it is better for the environment that we're all trying to get on the train, you know? However, turns out the traffic wasn't so bad.
Of course. Atlanta does over-exaggerate a little bit with weather, traffic.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Totally with weather. It's hysterical. It's like it's going to rain and then like everybody better go get milk and bread because it might rain, you know. But anyway, so Syracuse was coming down, not the whole city, but people from Syracuse were coming down to Atlanta for the Final Four. And so they had a report in their local paper kind of preparing people for a trip to Atlanta. And they kind of said some funny things. So I thought I would share that with all of you. As for customer service, this is what they had to say. This is a quote. In New York, customer service is chop, chop, fast. Everyone is fast. Life is fast. It's different in Atlanta. You're on South time, not North time.
Oh, my God.
Customer service will get to you as soon as they can, meaning after they help the person in front of you, genuinely ask them how their day is, ask them how their life is, answer the phone, take a sip of water, answer the phone again, find a pen, smile, and then finally get to you. They'll smile the entire time, so smile back. And by the way, restaurants do things the same way.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a slam or is that true? What do you think?
Every time we go to Publix, that is absolutely true. Publix, they are so super nice. They have to say hello. How's your day? How's the traffic out there? How's the weather? I don't think it's a slam. It's Southern hospitality. We're more of a slower motion, and we like it that way. We like it just to be chill and friendly to one another.
Yeah.
I haven't stepped foot in New York City or New York. I'm from Maine, and that's really weird. But New York City scares me just because of the harshness of them and just having them knock you out of the way when you walk. And I don't like that.
You know, it's funny because I think it's obviously this is an exaggeration. Not everyone is quite like that. First of all, a lot of people in Atlanta are transplants. I mean, you're from Maine. I'm from Philadelphia. Elizabeth, if she ever gets here, she might actually be in Maine right now. But no, not really. Oh. I just mean like she's walking here from Maine. But she's from Philadelphia also, coincidentally. But like at Publix, they do that. But they also are usually scanning your items while they're doing that. So it's not like they're slowing it down. They're just being friendly while they work, which I appreciate. I will admit that when I first got here and people would smile at me on the street, I really was confused. I was like, why is that person smiling at that? Are they crazy? Do they need to go to – are they from the mental hospital? Like, or do I have something on my teeth? I was like a little confused by it. However, I thought it was kind of funny. And – perhaps it's a lesson for those New Yorkers that they need to do a little bit of that up there. The other thing that they talked about was, well, this is funny because you do this. They said the guide had this to say about how we address each other in Atlanta. In New York, we call people by their first name. Generally, not so in Atlanta. Everyone is either ma'am, sir, or Miss Maria, Mr. Andrew, Miss Sally, etc. I have to say, while I appreciate the gesture there, it weirds me out. It always weirded me out when my friend's kids would call me Miss Dana. You call me Miss Dana sometimes, like an
email.
Yeah.
I do.
And ma'am, I hate ma'am because I'm always like, I'm not 90. Stop calling me ma'am. So I prefer the Miss Dana to the ma'am.
Mental note.
But Miss Dana makes me feel like a nursery school teacher. Because
that is true.
When I grew up, the only people we called Miss and their name were my nursery school teachers and kindergarten teachers. Everybody else was either Mr. or Mrs. and their last name or just their first name.
It was completely foreign to me when I first moved down here. I was a server at Texas Roadhouse.
Woo!
Awesome place. And everybody said, no, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I'm like, no, it's Miss or something. I'm not 50, 60 years or 90 years old. I don't want to say 50 or 60 years old. But they looked at me very strangely when I said, I'm not a ma'am, I'm a Miss, because I never heard that before.
Yeah.
And I only heard it probably once or twice to a grandmother's or a
grandfather. Right.
So that was very foreign to me. But now I adapted to it. And now I say Miss, ma'am, sir. It's just part of the culture here.
Well, and I do think also as somebody working in clubs, you know,
that
you pick up on that more than in other industries because it's sort of your job to sort of treat people that way.
Absolutely. So, it's formality. It's a sign of respect. And
Absolutely. And then last of all, they talk about traffic. And here's what they had to say about Atlanta traffic. Traffic sludge is a part of life in Atlanta. To figure out how much time you'll really need, double or triple your mileage to gauge your true time. If your hotel is 10 minutes from the Georgia Dome, give yourself 20 to 30 minutes in traffic. Totally true.
Yes, I had nothing to say about that one.
Totally true. They nailed that. They nailed it. You know, it's funny because I used to have this mentality of from wherever I lived. I don't know why I did this, but I used to think I was 30 minutes to anywhere in the city, which was absurd, of course, because some places I was actually 20 minutes from, but most places I was 45 minutes from. So I was always panicking and running late and whatever. I still sort of do that.
Yes.
I think I maybe made it worse. And now I think I'm 20 minutes from everywhere. So I'm constantly like running up streets and
it's same terrible. Here. I always try to find the back way. Every place I go, I always have to try to find the back way. And there's always a back way in Atlanta. How I get
except really where the City Club is. I just moved a couple miles from there. And right in the heart of Buckhead, there's not a lot of back roads.
Yeah, that is true.
You kind of
have to go Peachtree.
Yeah, you really do. I think we need to build a bridge over Peachtree or something. So for the two of us.
The traffic does get really bad out there.
It does.
There's nothing that we can do about it, which is just the worst thing.
I know.
We try to accommodate as much as we can, but the traffic is just beyond our control.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. You're not going to believe this. Moving on. I saw an article. I pulled this out last week to talk about this week just because I didn't have – it was after the show last week when I saw it. So it's not a fresh, brand-new headline, but I just was so – I couldn't believe it. Cell phones are 40 years old. 40. Happy 40th birthday cell phone was the headline I pulled out from the Business Chronicle. Is that amazing? 40 years. Now, I will say this just to clear things up for you. They weren't widely used 40 years ago.
No.
However, it was 40 years ago last week, the first public phone call was made on a cell phone, and it was made by Martin Cooper, who was a vice president at Motorola at the time, and it was on a prototype. So it was the early adoption of a phone called the Dynamic Adaptive Total Area Coverage, or the Dynatac, which actually rang a bell to me when I read it. I sort of vaguely remember hearing about the Dynatac at the time. 10 years later, so that happened, and then 10 years later, so 30 years ago, that phone finally hit the market as the Motorola Dynatac 8000X. Get this. It weighed 2 pounds. Can you imagine? Like, our phones now, what, weigh a couple ounces, you know? You're going to love this. It weighed 2 pounds and stored 30 phone numbers, 30 whole phone numbers. Gosh. And how many do we have now? Hundreds of thousands, whatever. Took 10 hours to charge and cost $4,000. Yeah. So they refer to it, if you need a movie reference, it was famously used by corporate raider Gordon Gekko in the Wall Street movie in 1987.
Or Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell.
Well, of course. Better reference. My bad. So anyway, kind of amazing. I just was and also the story also reported that it was worked on the first North America's first 1G service. And
oh,
we're on
my goodness. 4G,
right. So it's just kind of amazing because we think of it as kind of a much newer technology, certainly, but the fact that to get something like that to happen has to actually, 40 years ago. That's I was a little teeny kid 40 years ago. Huh, you weren't even born. And and they were already hard at work on something that, wow. And I'm sure they could not imagine back then that it was going to turn into what it is now, both in terms of our culture and in terms of the technology.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It could be a bad thing, too, because all the little kids, all the little ones are always on their phone, so it's scary to think that it consumes our everyday life so much.
You know, and also it has a physical effect on the way you hold your head, because all of us have our heads down all the time.
Really?
Well, if you think about it, you're constantly looking down now between, at your device, mm-hmm. At your iPad or your iPhone or whatever. You constantly have your head down.
That is true.
So it'll be just interesting. Like for us who are a little bit older, like not growing up with it, we're having to deal, like I feel it in the back of my neck between the mouse, using the mouse.
Absolutely.
And then the way your head is positioned with kids, it'll be interesting to see if they end up having problems, and they're all going to chiropractors by the time they're 20,
of course. I heard something so crazy. So one of my members does nonprofit work for South Korea, and there's 20 million population in South Korea. 14 million of them are social media addicted.
Wow.
Which means that they feel withdrawal, the same symptoms you feel if you're quitting cigarettes,
wow,
or alcoholism, if they don't have their phone with them. So in the time that they get on the train and they don't have their phone, they start sweating and feeling nauseous and having the same symptoms that they have if they have an addiction,
wow,
of drugs. It's crazy. 14 million people have this addiction of social media, always have to be on their phone. And
wow.
So this member goes to South Korea and does workshops and helps them go through this withdrawal.
Well, isn't that going to happen here? It's got to, right?
Oh,
I mean, right? I mean, but it's got to. It's like the thing is, I remember when cell phones first became more prevalent. And I know I had some business contacts in Israel at the time, and they adopted cell phones more quickly than the U.S. because mm-hmm. they had a better network. It's a much smaller country, obviously. So the infrastructure, their faster network was up more quickly there, smaller space, whatever. So they were all on their cell phones all the time, much quicker than we were here. Well, now we are too, right?
That's true.
So it just seems to me,
it's bound to happen.
It's bound to happen.
I hope not. That's just weird.
It is crazy to think. But you know what? When I leave the house without my phone.
Yeah, you do feel useless.
Yeah. Like,
helpless.
I feel like I forgot my hand.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It's scary.
And it's so interesting because at the same time, as you want to be connected, I think you really also want to not be connected.
Exactly.
So there's going to be all kinds of psychological specialties coming into, I'm sure, in schools. You're going to
job creation.
Really? I mean, it's so true. So sad, but true. So, it really is sad, but it's true.
It is.
And even talking about, we were talking the other day about social media, which also is a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. It was not around 40 years ago, and 10 years, I don't know, 12, 10, I don't know. I don't know exactly when Facebook started.
I think it was 06 or 05.
Right. It's recent. So not even 10. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's considered the first real social media or what, but
MySpace.
And there were a couple other things that didn't last. There was another one, Friendster, I think, a long, long time ago, that didn't last. But now there are people that are calling themselves social media experts. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this in a corporate setting the other day. And I was saying, listen, if you're going to hire a social media expert, you need to hire somebody, and not to be an ageist, but who's in their 20s.
Absolutely.
Because I'm telling you right now, if someone who's in their 40s or 50s, which I am in my 40s, says they're a social media expert, they are lying.
Yeah.
First of all, anybody, how is anybody really an expert? It's a totally new world. So nobody really knows what's going to happen. Nobody really knows if like Pinterest or Instagram is going to stick or go away. You know, and they all, one of the things I think that's kind of interesting about it, we're so off on a tangent, but I love it, is that Facebook, for example, I think appeals kind of to everybody.
Yes.
It's one of the few social media spots that really has a very, very wide adoption in terms of age and demographic. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Twitter is older and more business people. I think some of the younger people use it, but not as heavily. You know, like I know my daughter uses it, but not as heavily. Mm-hmm. But then like Foursquare is much younger. And I think it has a more male-driven population.
Really?
I think so. I could be wrong about that. But I think because it has that game aspect with the badges and stuff, I think there's like a lot of gamers got into that pretty quickly. Like they really want to be the mayor of Starbucks or whatever, you know? So I don't know the actual demographics. For anyone listening, do not quote me on this because I made that up. But you know, but there's a very set group of people that are interested in that. And Pinterest, I think, tends to be more women.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And so
that's
there's
how I planned my wedding.
Right. So there's a set group of people that are interested in that. So how do those things last? Are they niche? Do they, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, 10 years from now, it'll be interesting to see what sticks and what goes. But all of that to say, no one's really an expert. Kind of cracks me up. Like,
yeah.
And if they are, really, they should be in their 20s because they at least really have a feel for how to make the best use of these things, I think.
Yeah. And it's more about you self-teaching yourself too, because obviously nobody, there's no professors or nobody out there teaching you. You just go on there and you learn yourself and you learn by experience, and that's how you become an expert, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think it is learning by experience. It is in a lot of ways throwing something out against the wall basically and seeing if it sticks, because you could do a Facebook campaign or a Twitter ad and you'll see if you get clicks, if you get business. You know, then the other thing is, how do fans and likes and members or whatever the things are called on the different sites, do they translate to dollars? And that's also going to be interesting 10 years from now. And by the way, I'm sure 10 years from now it will be taught in school.
Oh yes.
In business school. Right. All right. Think moving on to other businesses that in my opinion, maybe shouldn't really be, as important to the world as they are, the restaurant. Let's talk about the restaurant. Hooters, Twin Peaks, Bikinis is the other one, and that's the one that made the headlines because Bikinis, the restaurant Bikinis, I hate all of this so much.
I've never even heard of this.
Well, I think Bikinis is out of Florida, I want to say. I might be wrong. I'm going to have to dig through my story here. But the point is that they are another one of those kind of restaurants like Hooters. We all know Hooters here in Atlanta that caters to men. In their scenario, the girls wear very short denim shorts and bikini tops and cowboy boots, I think. So maybe it's Texas. I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is that they trademarked the word restaurant.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed. So now the place is called Bikinis Sports Bar and Grill, and it's a chain. Oh, I'm sorry. I was right. Texas. It's Austin-based. So I'm sorry, Florida. I apologize. They trademarked restaurant. And now they are wanting, because of that, they don't want Hooters and Twin Peaks and the other restaurants to use that term. Apparently, they don't want it to be. They want it to be their own. The thing to me,
I'm just speechless right now.
I understand. I understand. Say. This guy, the guy that owns this, his name is Doug Guller. He has several projects in the works. And one of the things he did was bought a town on Craigslist called Bikini. The town was called Bikini. So he bought it and he's trying to turn it into a party destination. I don't understand people. What? He's trying to turn it into a party destination in some little small town in the middle of nowhere because of the name of the town. I don't know. Anyway, here's the point. Here's the whole reason I brought this up, because you're going like, why are we talking about this?
No, it's just,
this is like a stand-up comedy routine where like there's, I'm telling a joke and no one's laughing, you know. But the thing is, the whole concept to me, like, what year is this? It's like amazing to me that this is still a popular thing. Why? Who? Why? What? Where? Who's going to these places? Why are men? Why?
I just don't know. I go to Hooters for the wings.
But see, okay. But you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Oh, God.
Denied.
No!
Because I don't. Ugh.
I know.
Here's the problem.
I'm supporting the problem.
Right. You're supporting the problem.
But the wings are so good.
I don't care.
And they have big daddies, like 32-ounce beers. Okay. I'm not helping you. I'm sorry.
Listen, Chassie. That is enough out of you. Yeah. Here's the problem. The problem to me is I am all about being sexy. I think women should be sexy. I have no problem with women using their feminine wiles in business to get what they want. I don't care. I'm all for it. You know, use what your mama gave you, you know, or what God gave you, or however you want to look at it. I'm all for that. I have no problem with it. But somehow the idea of selling food by being half naked bothers me.
I know.
Unless potentially they would do the same thing for us. And maybe they should create a Chesterant. In which hot guys with six-pack abs, you know, who work out every day are going to walk around with their shirts off and serve us really good wings.
This is true. I never looked at it that way.
It's just not fair. And it's degrading, sort of. I don't know. I just feel like, and having also a 20-year-old daughter who, by the way, would never, ever, ever in a million years want to work at a place like that. Just the idea. Like, I know some of her friends from high school have worked in places like that. It just makes me uncomfortable and sort of sad. And
well, just think, would you want to be at Swinging Richards and have some guy come up to you and give you food, though?
No, I really wouldn't even want to be at Swinging Richards. I'm not going to lie. But except for a joke.
Exactly.
You know, for a one-time thing because it's funny. But like, these are restaurants that do well.
I know.
And
have you ever been to Twin Peaks?
I have not.
I haven't either.
Now, I've been to Farm Burger next door at the Buckhead one, which is delicious, by the way. Free plug for Farm Burger. And I've seen people lining up to go in there on game day, you know. And so I'm all for a sports restaurant. And I don't even have a problem with them hiring sexy women. But the idea that the point of it is to see boobs.
Yeah.
Not loving it.
I know.
Not loving it,
it's
Amanda.
It's guys.
I know. Men are pigs.
Turds.
And there's none on here today to defend themselves. You know, the best is when we have like three women here and one guy who's a guest and he's always like, oh, God, more male bashing.
Oh, my God.
And listen, I love men. I couldn't live without them. I hate to admit it. But really, dudes?
I know.
Come on. A boob is a boob is a boob. You've seen one. You've seen them all. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to feel so weird going to Hooters now. I'm going to feel bad and
Good.
Think about you.
You should. You have a little Dana on your shoulder going like, you're supporting the habit. Supporting the habit.
Oh my God.
All right, moving from the tacky to the classy, Weston's Sundial restaurant is closing for a major renovation, but planning to come back. And it's interesting because for those of you who haven't been there, that's one of the rotating restaurants in Atlanta that was a huge landmark. Mm-hmm. I think it opened in 1976.
Wow.
So it's been here a long time. And now I have to admit to you, I think I said this on the show once before, those rotating restaurants make me a little nauseous. Like, I'm not a big fan of the rotating restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. It's like being on a cruise ship to me. The idea that I'm moving, just somehow.
It is a weird concept.
And while I'm eating, like, I can do it, but I'm not super comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like a one-time cool thing to do for me, and then I wouldn't go back really probably because of that.
It's good to bring out-of-town guests up there so they can see the whole city. That's the only time I go up there.
Yeah, the panorama.
I've never eaten there, though. I've only drinking.
Drinking. anyway, I do think it's a cool thing to have in the city, and I'm sure most people aren't bothered by it. It's just, I am just so easily motion sick activated that I, However, it's interesting because there's two rotating restaurants in Atlanta. The other one is the Hyatt. Regency Atlanta has also, I think the Hyatt is the one with the blue. It's a little bit lower, but it's got that blue thing on it. Anyway,
downtown?
Yeah.
Oh.
Theirs was called Polaris, and they're also renovating and possibly reopening. They're definitely reopening, but they're hoping to make it by later this year, whereas I think the Westin's going to take a little bit longer. No, I lied. It's going to also open later this year. So two big restaurants redoing, because they're really dated, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And so they got to do something to bring in So they're doing things, not just renovating the look of the space, but like every restaurant right now, they're moving to, you know, more local produce, local foods.
Going to become a restaurant?
I do not think. Listen, if they call me to ask for advice, which I'm sure they will, I'll suggest that they don't become a restaurant. But maybe you could go in there and talk to them. I don't know. But they are also going to be bringing in, you know, one of them. So the Sundial has a good chef already, Chef Jason Starnes, but they're updating the menu. They're bringing in, like I said, local ingredients, farm to table, you know. So they're coming up to current, which I think is good because we need that downtown. I mean, we need as much downtown as we can to keep people coming. And there's so much happening here now with the College Football Hall of Fame coming to Atlanta and, you know, having events.
The new stadium.
Yeah, the new stadium, things like the Final Four being here and the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And there's so many people sort of coming through town that to have destinations like that, I think, is key for the city to stay on the track that it's on.
Absolutely.
Which is really positive, you know. All right. And speaking of staying on track, Coke versus Pepsi. Coke is obviously, if you're in Atlanta, there's just not even a – forget it. First of all, I am a Coke fan, and I was before I ever got to Atlanta. So I was just happy to be in Coke town, you know, because I am definitely Coke versus Pepsi. Coke wins for me. However, I don't know how to pronounce this company name, so I may get it wrong. It's either Rouse or Roos Properties, but they're a mall operator in the U.S. They own 32 malls in 20 states across the country, and they have just made an exclusive deal with Pepsi.
Oh.
So their malls will only sell Pepsi, and they will also be doing all kinds of special promotions with Pepsi, for Pepsi, et cetera, and all the Pepsi-related drinks, not just Pepsi itself, but Gatorade and all the various Mountain Dew, Lipton iced teas, Aquafina water, all that. So those malls will have no Coke. And the reason I bring this story up is just because, of course, Coke is our – without Coke, Atlanta wouldn't be Atlanta. Let's
face
it.
And everything is a Coke here. I don't understand. That's when I noticed that coming down here for the first time. Even if you get a Sprite, it's Coke.
Right.
But how do they know what to – it's give, just weird.
Well, that is a funny thing. And it's funny that the Syracuse paper actually didn't mention that.
I know.
But it is true. They call – if you want to have a beverage with fizz in it, you just want a Coke.
Yep.
But then it could be a Diet Coke or a Sprite, as you said. It's kind of silly. But the thing that's interesting about it is with a big deal like that, that's a lot of malls. And malls are big. And a lot of people go to them. And does that really hurt a company as big as Coke? You know, I mean, we're both kind of in smaller organizations, so hard to know.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, I'm sure they feel a loss. They would rather have a deal with them.
That is true.
But I wonder if that's even a – is that like getting a – is this – okay, here's my analogy. For Coke, is that like me getting a mosquito bite on my left pinky toe? Like, I felt it, but it's not a real trauma. You know, it's a little itch. It's not great. I'd rather not have it, but it doesn't really hurt me.
Yeah. I always felt that Coke was always higher level than Pepsi for some reason.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just like the endorsements or who sponsors them. But I heard that Taylor Swift – is a sponsor for Pepsi
versus
Coke. So they've been getting
They try.
Some hits.
They do try, but it is interesting because I agree with you. I think and it could just be that we're biased because we live here. I don't
exactly.
know. But I think Coke is a classier brand than Pepsi. I agree. Like when I go somewhere and I see Pepsi, I'm like, And I think I'm sorry, Pepsi, I feel bad for you, but you know, I just think the marketing team at Coke does a better job. You know, Coke is just a better brand, I think. And that's a huge – it's not so much the taste, although I do happen to prefer the taste of Diet Coke to Diet Pepsi. But it's the whole
culture.
Thing, yes. It's the whole culture of Coke. It's the branding of Coke. You're right. It's probably the sports people and the movie stars and the whomever, musicians that they have as you know
– endorsers.
Yes. Thank you. And, yeah, obviously I need
that's
more –
what I'm here for.
I need more coffee or a Coke. But anyway, yeah, I just wonder sometimes how important a deal like that is to a company like Coke. And even for Pepsi, I think that's probably a good coup for Pepsi. And please do not quote me on this, anyone, but I'm guessing, I mean, I think Coke is number one in the soft drink market and Pepsi is number two. So does a deal like that get them closer? Or is it, again, is it just like, well, they got, you know, a facelift, but they're still Pepsi? You know, like they're still number two. You know, I don't know.
Number two, for sure.
Yeah. So hopefully it's not a trend and our city favorite Coke will keep on trucking.
Living strong.
Yeah, I'm not worried, but I just thought I'd bring it up. All right, last but not least in the news roundup, Time Warner, which owns, of course, CNN, or another local favorite here in Atlanta, is bringing its annual meeting of shareholders back and investors back to Atlanta. The last 2 years, I think it's been elsewhere and in a couple of different locations. But it's interesting also because in November, of course, CNN just named their new president, Jeff Zucker, and he was formerly the CEO of NBC Universal. But this is the first time that CNN has had a president based in New York and not Atlanta. And that concerns me a teensy little bit.
That they're leaving?
Yeah. I don't think that's the case. So I think it's good. I think it's a kind of a good signal that they did bring the annual meeting back here to show like there's still some love for Atlanta. But I remember, you know, when CNN, I'm probably dating myself, but when CNN, not first started, but certainly when I moved to Atlanta, all of CNN's programming, of course, there were satellite offices in other cities and there were international offices and all of that. But like the morning show, all the stuff that was happening at the desk was really happening here. And then I think they moved the morning show to New York. And so and that was many years ago already. But I remember thinking like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, we like our anchors and our, you know, we want those big names here.
Of course. And it's right downtown, right next to the Phillips Arena and everything. It's, we have to have that here.
Yeah. So hopefully nothing's going to change too dramatically. And I think that the fact that that they're bringing that annual meeting back here is a good sign of love for the city.
Absolutely. I hope so.
I hope so too. It's funny because as much as I will complain sometimes about Atlanta, and I try not to too much because, you know, why be negative? What does it get you? But, you know, sometimes I have this or that, the traffic or this or that. The thing is, I do love it here. And I like to see the city improve and succeed. And I like the streetcar happening is a really cool thing. And,
yeah, I just heard about that. I read about, I didn't know. What was that about?
Yeah, well, the streetcar, they're building a streetcar and it's going to, I think it's going to be up and running by either later this year or early 2014. I forget exactly. Oh, here comes Elizabeth hobbling in her little boot. Oh, she looks so sad and sweet. Too late. We already talked about you on the air. No waving me off. oh, poor thing. Anyway, so the streetcar is going to really give some connectivity to downtown, you know, for both the business people here and the tourists.
Okay.
That, you know, that's just going to really add a whole level to the city that's going to be really cool. And so, like, we already talked about the stadium and the the stadium and the College Football Hall of Fame and some of the other events going on. There's just a lot of really, really cool things happening. So
it is exciting.
Yeah. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. I've had the whole scenic tour of Atlanta.
Oh, poor thing. You're hanging in there, though. That's all that matters. Sometimes we just have a day.
So have you been entertaining Amanda?
Amanda and I are having
you guys
a jolly
had a great show without me.
Well, you know what? You got here just in time because literally we just wrapped up the headlines and I was about to turn the tables on Amanda. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So that was perfect timing. We had some good headlines and stuff, some interesting stuff to talk about. And I didn't, one of the things that we talked about right when we started is that Amanda and I, this is our second meeting and we're already like BFFs. But she has a background in journalism, too. So that's why she had no problem hopping on the mic with me. So
excellent.
She acted like she was a little unsure before I turned it on. And then as soon as I turned it on, she was good to go.
You guys are just ruling the airwaves.
That's right.
Excellent. I love it.
Yeah. So Amanda is the – are you the membership director?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Oh, Ms. yes, ma'am.
Yes,
I am
Dana.
Not 90. We talked about ma'am and miss and all of that. Yes. But so the membership director over at the City Club of Buckhead.
Yes.
Which we're going to talk about first. And then you also have a little entrepreneurial venture on the side that we'll chat about a little bit.
Yes. And I'm so excited. The Chic Entrepreneur. I love the
co-host. Yes, I was so excited to see the name of your side venture.
Chassis
on the
Chic.
Same wavelength
totally.
Here with our female entrepreneurship.
I love it.
Right.
I
so,
love it.
So to clue the listeners in, so because now they're going like, what? So Elizabeth, if you didn't know this, is the author of a book called The Chic Entrepreneur, which really defines Elizabeth. She is both chic and an entrepreneur. And Amanda's new business is called Chassis Chic, which is a shoe business. And
yes.
So Elizabeth's book has two high heels right on the front. So these two are like sisters from another mother or something. I mean,
we need to talk immediately.
Immediately. Following this show. Anyway, let's get to Chassis Chic in a minute, but let's start with the City Club of Buckhead. Tell me, give me a little background on the club, because it's one of the newer clubs in the city.
Yes, we are definitely the newest ones out there. City Club of Buckhead is in the space where the Buckhead Club used to be for 20 plus years in Atlanta Financial Center. And when they moved out, the building needed a club to obviously secure tenants and maintain their tenant base. And so City Club of Buckhead literally came out of thin air, and we did a $7 million renovation in the old space of the Buckhead Club, and we just started from scratch. And we started with 78 members. Of December 18th, 2008, we opened the doors.
Wow.
And now we're up to 530-plus members. And it's just thanks to our great staff. They're very, very – they're people, I like to say, even though that doesn't probably make any sense.
It does.
But we generally care about our jobs, and we love what we do, and we're very passionate about it. And that's how I think we've grown and maintained such a high membership base, and especially in this economy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's great. We have an athletic club and spa, all these different amenities.
It's a beautiful space.
Yeah.
It really is.
I love it. I love going to work every day.
It is a beautiful space, and it's certainly centrally located. Now, mm-hmm. the first 78 members, were they people in the building?
Yes.
They were. Okay.
I think they were pretty much all Morris, Manning, and Martin.
Okay.
Who are the largest tenant in the building, and we just secured them for another 20 years. So I think it's a good showing of our membership, and it's definitely going positive.
Yeah. So now, because it's a newer club, does that change the demographic of your members at all? Are they younger, or does it not matter, or is it location-based?
A lot of people ask me if what's the demographic of our club? And since we are newer, and since I'm a little bit younger, I guess 28 is a little bit young, but I think I attract younger members. But I was looking at the breakdown, young executives are 30 to 36 and full residents are over 36. And we have about 400 full resident members over the age of 36, and we have the rest under.
Interesting.
But it seems like it's a younger club because of the enthusiasm and the energy when you walk through the door. Everybody's talking to one another. Everyone's excited to be there. Whereas if you go to an older, more established club, they have members that have been there for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
So it's very – I don't want to say they don't really talk to one another, but it's just very – they're in their own ways. They're set in their own ways, whereas we just come in here and everyone's talking at the breakfast in the bar and grill. Everyone's talking to one another.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying hi to the servers. So it's a little bit more energy, I think.
Well, and I think clubs – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know Elizabeth is a member of a club, so she can talk a little bit about what that experience is mm-hmm. like. But, my point being, I think sometimes if you've been a member for a longer period of time, you probably have your routine.
Exactly.
And you use the club for certain things, and that's that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't – maybe you're the person that does go to an event, and you make sure you go to an event once a month, and that's all you really do. Or mm-hmm. you go to breakfast once a week, and that's all you really do, or whatever. Whereas you're right, maybe with a newer club, there's more like, oh, let's try this. Oh, let's
yes.
try this. Oh, you know.
And it's good that we have the capability of doing very different things. Every year we have the City Club Classic. So all of our members go out in a different country club, and we have a golf tournament for our members.
Nice.
This year we're at Country Club of Roswell on May 6th, and we just do that for our members, and the foursome gets a trophy displayed in the club somewhere with their names on it. Those types of things, we try to be creative. We have our charity gala that we do once a year. It's a Scotch cigar kind of theme.
Nice.
And we always pair up with a charity, and we donate the proceeds to go to that organization. So things like that. And being more of a boutique club, not being part of a larger organization, we're able to accommodate and have flexibility with the members and the events that we provide. So I love it. It's young, we're growing, and it's very exciting to be part of it.
So what do you find are some of the more popular events that you've put on? Because I'm sure you host a lot of events at the club.
Mm-hmm.
What has gotten big crowds, or what kind of fun things are going on over there?
Oh, just last night we had our monthly City Club Connection. It's an open wine and beer bar for our members. It's complimentary. And what we do is we collaborate with another professional organization in Atlanta, and we invite them to be part of it each month. And so we highlight and showcase them. And we have about 70 to 90 members and guests that come to that, including the organization. And it's just a great way for us to showcase the club to them, and maybe get some potential members, as well as providing our members an opportunity to meet people outside of the club and expand their network at this event. And it's great. And then we have Jazz Night, which is we just launched that last month, and that was a great success.
Also monthly?
Yes.
Okay.
Last Friday of the month. We have our wine club, so members pay a certain amount of dues, I guess, each month. And they receive a complimentary bottle of wine once they come dine with us each month. Different tastings and different dinners with discounted prices and everything. So, and they get to buy bottles at cost. So it's really fun stuff. And that's just the social side. Whereas the professional side, we're definitely very proud of our networking events because we have 12 a month. And they either consist of the complimentary gourmet breakfast or the wine and the beer in the evening. But it's basically we strive to build relationships first and provide and you know create opportunities for them to become friends. And then obviously referrals come naturally after that. So we have 12 different ones that are very, very different, have their own flavor. And each of our board of governors facilitates each networking event. So it's just a good way to meet them as well on a more personal level.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the challenges I have to imagine for a newer club is finding new members. And sort of is that part of your responsibility to actually go out and sort of find those people and convince them that they really need to be a part of this?
Yeah, I think it's and since I'm so passionate about it and I believe it so much because obviously I've kind of developed this whole side venture because of City Club of what I've learned. So I think it's such an easy sell for me to even if somebody walks through the door, I know that I have them because obviously the club sells itself. But then with me being this is how it affected me and this is how I've grown professionally and personally, I think just hearing a really, you know, a story, I know I don't want to say from a salesperson, but an actual member because I consider myself a member versus a membership director because I'm best friends with all of my members and they support me, I support them. And but yes, getting them actually into the club, that's the challenge that I face sometimes. Just once they're in there,
sold,
they're my new member.
Uh-huh. You do have that. That's why we're BFFs. Like you, there's something, maybe there's an evil plot going on here. I'm not sure. But I think, and I want to get to your personal story because I do think that's a great testimonial for the club.
Yeah.
But before we do that, as Elizabeth mentioned, are there any events coming up that you want to let people know about in terms of getting them in to see the club? Or
yeah, we have, again, the Jazz Night is April 26th. It's okay. A Friday. It's always the last Friday of the month.
Right.
And we always have drink specials, and we have a great jazz trio, Deb Bowman and her band. She's from New York City. She's great. And we have Jazz Night, and then obviously the City Club Classic at Country Club of Roswell.
Yep.
It's great. It's $95 per person. If you're not a City Club member, we just ask you to be paired up with a City Club member because each foursome has to have a City Club member just so it's obviously a City Club event. So right. We need to have that happen.
So the members can sort of maybe two of them can bring two of their friends or that kind of thing as well. They don't
course.
Have to all know each other.
Exactly. Gotcha. And that's the whole point. We want our members to really bridge the gap between the young members and the more seasoned members.
Sure.
And golf is definitely a great way to do that. So we have that. And then it's only $355 for a whole foursome. And that includes the lunch and the award ceremony afterwards. So it's going to be a really, really good event.
Cool.
Praying for good weather. I think that's the two that – and then obviously our charity gala that I was talking about, the Scotch and Cigar Night. It's June 12th.
Okay. So that's coming up too.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's black tie optional.
And the website for people who want more information?
www.cityclubofbuckhead.com. And my name is Amanda Chassie. So just search me.
Easy peasy. All right.
Yeah.
Now I want to get to your personal story because you do have this side venture we already mentioned, yes. Chassie Chic.
Mm-hmm.
But so first I want you to sort of describe what the company is. And
okay.
Then I want you to sort of tell us about how you're getting, how does that work with City Club? How did that sort of come about?
Well, first, I grew up in Maine. I'm a very sheltered young child in Maine, so I didn't know anything about business. My mom was a nurse. It wasn't very business oriented. So when I moved to the City Club of Buckhead from my previous position, I honestly learned what entrepreneur like really meant when I first
started meeting
Club.
Some.
Exactly.
Well, and so let's give the rest of your background. Sports journalism,
yes.
In college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you worked at a country club.
Yep.
So again, not really business oriented.
Yep.
So you had that club background. You move over to City Club and here we are.
And here we are being surrounded by so many successful entrepreneurs and business owners. And it was just really inspiring. I'm like, I can do something. I am definitely capable of following in my members' footsteps and learning from them and having them be my mentors. So just one day with a bottle of wine last year, I was looking at all my shoes and I have to wear closed-toed shoes and suits every day. So it's hard for me to express like my style and my personality and creativity through my professional wardrobe because it's very limited. And I was looking at all my shoes and they're all closed-toed, pointy black shoes, but they all have a tiny little alteration to it, whether it's a bow or a belt. Something like this.
She's showing us her shoes. Listening audience.
And so I realized, I'm like, why am I spending so much money on all these shoes? And I'm spending all my hard work, hard-earned dollars back into the workplace with like the dry cleaning and the suits. And I'm like, there's something has to be a budget-friendly option. So we were, me and my fiance were trying to figure out how to do it. So we took a pair of shoes and we made a little accessories, and we had our strap-ons were born, which you can interchange the accessories. Okay.
She air-quoted that for good reason after our earlier conversation about restaurants. Now we're on strap-ons. Love it. This show is actually PG, Amanda.
Sorry. That's what you get. I'm sorry. But basically, they're a professional woman's shoe line that you can express your style and individuality in the workplace on a budget, inexpensively, and you can interchange the accessories on the toe of your stiletto. And we are in Brazil right now in the manufacturing stage, and Shark Tank editions are open call this Sunday at the Fox.
So. And also, Elizabeth, she got some assistance getting into Brazil with one of our good friends from the show, Wilson Fowre.
Yes, he got me into
Brazil.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
so I partnered
terrific.
With him.
Yeah.
And he's been in Brazil trying to get all the connections made for us, and we have three potential manufacturers that we're going to use. So just basically providing the woman the opportunity to change up their wardrobe without spending a fortune.
So to be clear for our shoe-loving female listening audience, is that just, I think all women love shoes, so that's probably, I didn't need to say that. But you're making the shoes and the accessories. So
yes.
This is not just an accessory line for shoes, but it's a shoe line.
Yes.
And then you can buy the accessories to go with them, correct?
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Very affordable, but they're durable, they're timeless designs, and it's good because when we walk on the office floors or, on the pavement and everything, it wears down your shoes. So durability is definitely very important to me because obviously if you have one pair of shoes and you have to change the accessories over and over again, it has to be durable.
Right.
And so that's what we're working on now to make it durable yet affordable for the professional woman.
And comfortable.
And comfortable. Yes.
And I will say this also. I feel like I'm pretending I'm like Amanda's best friend and I've known her for her whole life. It's not true. But the first time I met her, she was actually wearing the prototype to test it out. So mm-hmm. She's going to make sure they are comfortable because this girl is on her feet all day long in her own product. So that's saying a lot,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So part of your growth in this business has been through the people that you met as part of City Club.
Absolutely. My mentor is there. My attorney's there. My business coach is there. Every single person that I have confided in with this business, they have helped me, supported me along the way. They have like, well, maybe you could do this. And like the tagline is women who can, personalize, accessorize, and maximize their professional wardrobe. One of my board of governors said, maybe you can, do it this way and this way. And then the personalize, accessorize, and maximize came about. So they're helping me brand it. They're helping me do the logo and everything.
Right.
One of my members did the logo for me. So it's just a very supportive group of individuals who, want each other to succeed. And we provide great referrals to them and everything. So it's a good little family.
Yeah.
For sure.
And as you said, I think that you're right. That sort of does go back to helping your job in getting members because now you can say, hey, look what I'm doing through all these connections.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know, Elizabeth, probably sometimes when you're at the club and you're not in the mood, it's sort of hard to make yourself go over and talk to somebody new or whatever and use the networking like you should, right?
Right. Well, I don't know. But when you're at your club, you feel comfortable enough to be able to do that. And I think that's really what the value proposition of a private club is.
Absolutely.
Is creating an environment where it doesn't feel awkward like it would if you went up to a stranger in a restaurant and started chatting to them. Although not that I'm sure you've probably done that.
I've probably done that too.
So.
I'm guilty for that too. So.
But the thing
you are extroverted individual.
Yeah. And the thing that's nice about it, one of the things you said earlier, I think before we got on the air, Amanda, is that, private clubs are a little bit of a dying breed. And, and I've talked about this with some of the people at the Commerce Club as well. I think, unlike a country club where people are choosing to spend their recreational dollars there, and if they can afford it, this is what they choose, and they know why they're there. They don't have to justify it to their boss or to their P&L, right? They're just doing it because it's what they want to do for entertainment, whether it's because of the golf or the tennis or the social or the family pool or whatever. But with an executive club, you have to justify the cost.
Yeah.
It's a business expense. And I think you're right. I mean, that comfort level that you get there, being able to network – and not feel awkward. And also, one of the things I've noticed at the few private clubs, including the City Club, that I've been to is not only is the staff wonderful and not only are they people, but they go out of their way to introduce them. If a member is by themselves, I've seen them do this at every club. They will bring somebody else over to you, mm-hmm. introduce them by first name. They'll know what you do. And that, I think, is invaluable.
Absolutely.
So,
and I think it's more, I try to say it's not a luxury, it's a necessity for your business. Because if you're a small business owner, you need this. You need the network and the support from your peers at, you know, at any private club to really take your business to the next level. So it is a marketing expense, and I think it's so well worth it. But you have to be active. I mean, you can't just pay the monthly dues and not come to the club.
Sure.
You get, obviously, the more value out of it, the more that you're there.
Yeah, and I will say this, you know, I for as outgoing as everyone seems to think I am, I tend to shy away from things like that. It's not my instinct to like go be a joiner. Mm-hmm. But I have been through different phases in my career where I have been at home, you know, lost a job, whatever, sitting at home, sending out resumes, things like that. And I have found that the more you get out there, first of all, you feel better because mm-hmm. you're out there. But even if you're in a job that you've been in for 20 years, meeting new people, having new connections, it is all about who you know.
Absolutely.
No matter right. what stage of your career you're in.
Well, it opens up all the possibilities, as mm-hmm. you've seen, as your business has evolved from kind of an idea into yeah. an actual thing by surrounding yourself with all these other intelligent, ingenuitive kind of yeah. people. Things come together.
It's amazing, really.
Yeah, I think you do, if you do it also with a good spirit, like if you do it with the intention of like, it's not just what can I get, it's what can I, how can I participate and what can I also give, mm-hmm. that you end up getting the most.
And that's what we look for in members coming in. If, you know, a member is just like, I want to come in here and I want everybody's Rolodex, I shy away from that. And I say, well, maybe you can go to, you know, look for other, you know, possibilities for you and your business. Whereas our members, we give to get. I mean, we give first, always.
Right.
How can I help you? How can I help you? And you can see immediately if a member comes in and wants to get.
Yeah.
They don't drive well with us because we don't, it's just, it messes with our mojo.
Yeah.
So we look for those types of members who want to help other people and get the joy from helping somebody become successful.
Absolutely. All right, Amanda, two more. Let's give the website for City Club one more time.
www.cityclubofbuckhead.com.
And is there anything yet for us to go out on the web and see about Jazzy Chic, or are we not
yes.
right, but not quite there yet?
We do have a website,
okay.
and you can sign up for a mailing list
okay.
if you'd like. It's www.chassischic.com, chassischic.com.
Excellent.
And I'm losing my last name to this marriage, so I wanted to provide my last
immortalize
name.
Immortalize yes. it permanently in
that.
A business.
Yes, I'm losing
Brilliant.
Something very important to the marriage.
Well, you'll never really lose it. You'll always be a chassis.
Chassinator.
That's right. So we're running out of time, but it was lovely having you sort of sit in for Elizabeth on the first part of the
Thank
show.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Amanda.
And, you know, it's lovely to see you again, as always. And, you know.
So much fun. Thank you.
If anybody is interested in joining the City Club of Buckhead, definitely get in touch with Amanda.
Right.
And
we know where we can find her.
We yes. do. And if you need great shoes.
Visit.
For sure.
Thank you.
And of course, we also wish you, you know, lots of love and luck and all of that on your wedding day coming
up. Thank you. There's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
It's an exciting year for you.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, our pleasure. That about wraps it up for us today. Thanks again, as I said, to Amanda for being with us and to our sponsor, World Trade Center Atlanta. Learn more about them by visiting WTCAtlanta.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to BusinessRadioX.com, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. Stay tuned for C-Suite exclusives. I'm interviewing Larry Samuelson coming up next. We'll talk to you soon.